If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With the Capital One Venture X card, you earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy. Plus, you get premium benefits at a collection of luxury hotels when you book on Capital One Travel. And with Venture X, you get access to over 1,000 airport lounges worldwide. Open up a world of travel possibilities with the Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
I want to talk about this because it's raising some eyebrows. It's a kind of move that has some people questioning what's going on here with the David case and the murder of Celeste Rivera's Hernandez. Not because this proves guilt, but because it suggests preparation. Preparation for what, you ask? Well, in mid-September of 25, right as the investigation into the death of 15-year-old Celeste Rivas Hernandez was heating up, recording artist David D4VD quietly transferred ownership, allegedly, of two Houston-area homes into his mother's name. On paper, it's just a deed transfer, but in the court of public opinion, timing like this is rarely seen as coincidence. What does it mean? It must mean he's trying to hide things because he's guilty. No, it doesn't. It doesn't mean that at all. I mean, someone's talking to an attorney and someone's actually making smart moves. If you're going to start to be accused of something, even if you had absolutely nothing to do with it, this move does make a lot of sense. So let's get that out of the way right away. The documents show two transfers, one on September 18th, another on the 22nd, both involving properties held under something called the Thorn Rose Trust, a family controlled entity. D4VD, David, reportedly set up when his career first took off. In other words, these weren't brand new purchases or emergency real estate dumps. They were homes his family already occupied. But the moment those deeds slid across a county clerk's desk, the narrative shifted. Was this a legal precaution or a warning sign that the artist saw trouble coming? Or both? Because here's what else was happening that same week. A police search warrant at his Los Angeles rental, reports of swatting call to one of the Houston homes claiming a shooting had taken place, and a coroner still unable to determine Celeste's cause of death after she was found in an abandoned Tesla owned by David. The timing of it all created a perfect storm of speculation. And to be fair, when you're a public figure tied even tangibly to a death investigation, every financial move gets a magnifying glass. Yeah, it will. But it's important to look at that with sober eyes. Here's another side to this story, a side that in legal circles is seen as smart, not sinister. When someone's name is suddenly connected to a criminal case, even if they haven't been charged, they're not just thinking about reputation anymore. They're thinking about exposure. Because guilt or innocence in a courtroom is one thing, but civil liability is another world entirely. Families of victims, tabloids, opportunists, even business partners, they all watch what happens next. And in that environment there, transferring property to a trustee relative isn't necessarily hiding something, it's insulating something. So here's how that works. Say you own real estate outright in your name, and you suddenly become the subject of a high-profile investigation. Even if you're never charged, you could still face civil suits, breach of contract claims, seizure actions. If law enforcement suspects those assets were tied to criminal behavior, moving those properties into a family trust or a parents' name can limit that exposure, essentially putting distance between you and what you own. It's not an admission of guilt, it's a firewall. Lawyers call it asset protection. It's a strategy used by both innocent and guilty parties alike, which is exactly what makes people uneasy. The same move might save an innocent person's financial future, and can, in other circumstances, be used by the guilty to shield their loot. Context, though, is everything. We've seen this pattern before, and not in all cases where they're innocent. When R. Kelly's legal troubles began, there were reports of property transfers and financial reshuffling. Efforts his legal team said were meant to protect his family from the fallout. When Real Housewives star Erica Jane faced legal heat over her husband Tom Girardi's alleged fraud scheme, her assets were moved out, allegedly sold, and restructured under new names, drawing accusations of complicity. Even Alec Baldwin's estate planning came under scrutiny after the Rust shooting. Though in his case, it was more about trust structuring than evasion. Each time the story read the same way. A celebrity in legal trouble trying to keep their home out of the line of fire. But here's what most people don't realize. These transactions are often initiated by lawyers, not even the celebrities themselves. Attorneys specializing in crisis management and asset protection are trained to anticipate the worst case scenario. They'll look at everything, real estate, business holdings, royalties, and ask, if this goes south tomorrow, what's at risk? Then they'll move to protect it, fast. So while the optics of the David transferring homes to his mother in the same week as the search warrant looks suspicious, it may have been preemptive legal housekeeping. The kind of behind-the-scenes move that happens in the background of almost every celebrity crisis. It doesn't mean it's morally clean, but it doesn't automatically make it criminal either. Sorry to disappoint. And that said, optics, of course, matter. To the public who already sees David's name connected to a teenage girl's death, these transactions look like someone bracing for an impact. And the swatting incident that targeted one of those same homes, a false 911 call claiming a shooting and a dead woman at the property, it creates a feedback loop of suspicion. But they couldn't control a swatting call. One event feeds the other. Before long, the narrative has momentum. What complicates it even more is that the investigation into Celeste's death remains wide open. No suspect name, no charges filed, cause of death still undetermined. That vacuum of answers makes every detail, every deed, every legal filing feel like a clue. But legally speaking, until there's a charge, there's nothing for those deeds to protect against except the possibility of public fallout. So why does this matter? Because in high-profile cases like this, financial and legal behavior can be just as revealing as testimony or evidence. Not because it proves anything, because it shows mindset. People preparing for a storm act different than people who don't see one coming. And when the stakes are this high, a teenager dead, a global artist under a cloud of scrutiny, and a family now controlling his homes, the question becomes not what is he hiding, but what is he protecting? Maybe he's shielding his mother and siblings from financial ruin if lawsuits come. Maybe he's trying to keep a roof over their heads if his career implodes. Maybe it's optics management, or maybe, like many public figures in crisis, it's all of the above. Damage control, emotional triage, and legal defense rolled into one. He's a human being. Innocence doesn't prevent foresight, but guilt doesn't erase strategy either. Both can exist at the same time. That's what makes this particular story hard to categorize. It lives in the gray. The law doesn't punish people for moving assets unless it's proven to be part of a fraudulent scheme. And right now, there's no evidence of that. What there is a series of deliberate actions timed around a tragedy that paint a portrait of someone very aware of how quickly everything can fall apart. And that's the deeper truth here. When you're under investigation, perception becomes as dangerous as prosecution. Every move, every transfer, every signature, every post is evidence of intent, even if that intent is only self-preservation. So no, we can't say this means David is guilty. We can't say it means he's innocent either. What we can say is that it means something. People don't restructure their lives for nothing. The only question is, why? Maybe he's bracing for the lawsuit. Maybe he's following the advice of an overzealous attorney. Maybe he's just scared. But in the end, those deeds don't tell us who killed Celeste Rivas Hernandez. They just tell us that David knows the weight of what he's standing in the middle of. And until the LAPD releases more in this case, until a medical examiner signs off on a cause of death, until the truth replaces speculation, this remains a story of timing, not guilt, of strategy, not confession. Because in the world of celebrity crisis, silence is its only language. And deeds like these speak volumes. Tell me your thoughts in the comments section on YouTube. If you're not already there, search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi and let us know what you think. It's a very active, fluid, developing story. Be sure to hit subscribe while you're there as well, including wherever you're getting podcasts, so you can listen to us anywhere you are. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.